The following message is from Harvest Bible Chapel Austin, where we are proclaiming the authority of God's Word without apology in order to see lost people saved, saved people matured, and mature people multiplied, all to the glory of God. For more information about our church, please visit harvestaustin.com.
Good morning, church. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Is it hot in here, or is it just me? It's cold, eh? We cooled a cucumber up here. Well, good morning, and I hope everybody's having a great hot Sunday morning as we are here gathered to share God's Word together. And if you are a guest this morning, my name is Dan Rivas. I am a pastor elder here at Harvest Bible Chapel, and we just want to thank you for being here with us. Usually what we are going through is the book of Acts, and we have taken a break through the book of Acts, and we're going through a series called Passing the Baton, going through 2 Timothy, and we're going through that, and that has been an amazing, amazing journey. Here at Harvest Bible, we believe chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and context is king, right? Because we need to understand God's Word the way it was intended to be taught, not the way we think it's supposed to be or the way it feels to us, but we need to bring it the way we need to see it, the way the author intended it. I ain't gonna lie to you, this morning threw me for a doozy as I was thinking, what am I going to share with everybody before I get into the scripture, right? Like, there's always a hook. There's always something to grab your attention to come up here. Well, it was definitely grace. Looking at emails this morning and text messages that we're going to be in another building and that you're going to preach in front of a whole bunch of kids and all the kids are going to be here. Then you're coming back over here, but there's no air conditioning and you're a little bit heavy and you're going to be sweating. I'm like, yeah, I need grace. I need grace, and this is an awesome passage to be preaching through, and that's 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. So if you have a copy of God's Word, and if you don't have one, there's one in the back, can you turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2? And we're going to be going into verses 1 through 7. And before we get into that, I want you guys to be excited about God's Word. I want you guys to walk through the verses with me. I want you to see it as it's been intended to be seen. Don't just come saying, you know what, somebody's going to talk to me about God's Word and I'm going to leave from it. We need to be indwelt with it because it was meant for us as much as it was meant for those who were in that time. So as we go through this, pray through it. Pray for me. I don't want to stumble. I don't want to like, oh, there I go. No, I want to bring God's Word. I want to honor Him and I want to bring everything to His glory. So if I could just stand over here and allow Jesus to stand here and the glory of God to be proclaimed, then I would let that happen. But I just want you guys to be praying through this as we go through this. And I'm going to go ahead and read our verse. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And the title of this message is, if you are to do anything at all, it must be by grace. There's three points that I'm going to bring out for us today, and that is be strengthened, entrust, and suffer. Be strengthened, entrust, and suffer. And Paul is brilliant in bringing out illustrations, isn't he? He's using a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer for us to be deepened and to understand the word that he's trying to teach to us. And I'll bring out verse 7 now so we can see what he's saying. Verse 7 says, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. I'm bringing that up now because I want you to ponder these things as we go through this verse. Don't just sit there and say, okay, he's bringing the word, or he's doing these things. I want you to think of these things. I want you to go and say, Lord, how are you speaking to me? I want you to live it with me as I go through this. And I want you engaged through this whole passage. We started this 3 weeks ago. Brian and Herb have brought the first chapter of Timothy over, and understanding what was brought, understanding the lay of the land, what is the aerial view of what's happening, helps us understand what's happening. Paul was writing to Timothy to encourage him during hard times during the church at Ephesus. The time was in or around 67 AD. It was the persecution of Christians by Nero. Paul is on trial for his life and possible execution. False teachers and false doctrines were rampant. This was Paul's last letter, his final letter that he wrote to anybody. I'm excited. Are you not excited? This is his last letter. And he's trying to engage Timothy, and he's trying to engage us as we go through this. So we're going to start in our first verse, and we're going to walk this through. If anybody has an objection, please raise your hand as I go through this. Okay, let's go for it. All right. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. As we see that verse and we roll into it, we have to ask the question, you then, right? You then, therefore. What is the therefore, therefore? It is a great question to ask. The other day, when I was studying this verse, I'm in the car with my daughter. And I say, hey, can you read this verse to me so I can be meditating on this? And she said, yeah, Daddy, you know, I'll do that for you. And she goes, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace in Christ Jesus. And I ask her, what is you then there for? She goes, I have no idea. I don't understand what that means. So I told her, what happened if I were to explain to you this way? For this reason, I want you to go clean your room. And she goes, what reasons do you want me to clean my room with? Why? And I said, exactly, that's why. Because we need to understand the reasons of why he's going into this verse and why he's saying what he's saying to Timothy. He says, you then. And what he's trying to bring up is he already wrote a whole thing's up, right? Up to this point, he has written in the first chapter. And in verse 3, he says, I remembered you day and night. I long to see you and recall your tears. I remember your family and your calling. I want you to kindle afresh the flame and do not fear. And that was in verse 7. My suffering for the gospel, 8 through 11. And Herb last week brought his word, and he said, keep to the sound doctrines that I have spoken to you in verse 13. And then he said, guard the deposit like $1,000,000. I had to bring that back up. I like that. And that there are faithful men and those that are not. And as now as we transition and we know what Paul has said and what he is saying to Timothy, and he's bringing that in, that's why we need to know why it's there. You then, you therefore. So when you see that during your study time, ask that question. Why is he saying that? He next says, my child, and I wanted to also just briefly bring that up. For those of us that have children and we say, my child, I want you to picture what it is to have a child. Or those of you that have dealt with children, it is a deeper love that you have with that child, is it not? They wrong you. They yell at you. They scream at you. They demand things. They want things. Are we not that same way with Christ? Are we not that same way with God, that we demand things? But he's saying right here to Timothy, I have a deeper love for you. I have something that I cherish with you, and I want you to listen to me of what I'm going to say. Listen, Timothy, listen to what I'm saying. You then, my child. Verse 2, he brought that up too. He said, beloved son. But most importantly, in Philippians 2, I think we see Paul communicate his love for Timothy. He says, but you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. You see that? A son with his father. He's communicating that deep love and relationship that he has with him. But then I started thinking, but what does that mean, right? And it convicted me, right? I'm sitting here and I'm like, wow, child, you child, do I ever talk to somebody that way? Do I have a deep relationship with somebody that way? And it made me ask, who's your Paul? Who's your Paul in your life? Who's feeding into you? Who's leading you? Who are you trusting deeply with your life so that they may grow you, right? That was convicting. But on the flip side of it, it was, who's your Timothy, right? Who are you sharing with? Who are you laboring with the child with? Who are you burdening with? I know it's hard. I know it's hard. We've all been hurt somehow, some way through the church. But there is a Paul and there's a Timothy that we have to look at and just drawing that out. This will get explained through the next couple of verses of how we're going to bring that together. So I ask you to just keep that in mind. as we continue through the verse, you then, we understand you then, and we understand my child, he comes out and says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's telling him, who's your strength in? Like Timothy, who are you depending in? Who do you want? Right? Are you depending on yourself? Are you depending on your own things? Are you depending on me, a man? That's what he's trying to say. Be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I have to admit, these are one of these verses that if you give to a pastor down south, he'll sit here for 3 hours and preach it. You want 3 hours? No? Okay. All right. But it can be preached literally because it's so theologically rich. It's so deep to understand. But we're going to move with this because he's writing a letter. And Paul brings that out. And think about it. Times are tough during the church of Ephesus. Things are not going well for Timothy. There's false teachers and doctrines. There's bickering and empty philosophy within the church. Things are immoral. Persecution and apostasy is just around the corner. These are the things that Timothy, a young man, has to deal with. If I was looking at Timothy and I'm looking at the theme of this letter and what he's saying, Timothy was ready to call it in. He was losing hope. He was losing traction. And Paul saying, no, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened. It's a theological bombshell, right? He exhorted him all up to this point, and then he says, be strengthened. Have you guys ever seen that? Be strengthened. Be invigorated. Be refreshed. Become stronger. Right? Be strengthened. That's what he's saying. But we have a tendency in this American culture to see be strengthened and say, it's all me. I need to strengthen myself. I need to wake up in the morning. I need to pray. I need to get up and I need to read my Bible. I need to love my wife more. I need to be a better parent. I need to be a better worker. Do you see how many I's were in that? That's being strengthened in our terminology. And that's not right. What he's communicating here is be strengthened by what? By what? By grace. By grace. We have to be strengthened by grace, because if it is not by grace, you're doing it on your own power. If it's not by grace, you're going to fail. I admit, when I don't do it by grace, I fall and I fail miserably. And the higher I get up in my own, the higher I try to do it in my own ways, the harder I fall and the less I want to come to that grace that's freely given. I want you to understand that. I want you to see that. That's grace, strengthened by grace. If you are to do anything at all, it must be by grace. That definition of grace is a very tricky one. Many people that I ask on the streets or through plane rides that I go through and we talk about grace, I'm like, hey, you know what grace is? And they're like, yeah, I know what grace is. I'm like, all right, tell me what grace is. Well, grace is when, like, we come to dinner, right? And we say grace at dinner. Well, yeah, right? But that's not exactly what grace is. But that's a tendency that most people that don't understand what true grace is, they go to. Grace, in its proper definition, is unmerited favor, something that we do not deserve. It's like stealing. Imagine this. Imagine we all go to the store. Picture your favorite store. We all go into the store. You're not with me, because if I'm stealing, you don't know I'm stealing. And we all go into the store. You pick something that you really, really want. And once you grab it, you're walking to the door. You have it hidden. You're not doing anything with it. And right when you get to the door, somebody grabs you and says, I got you. You got me. And he sits you on the curb and he says, I'm calling the cops. And you're like, man, I'm going to prison. For life, Supermax, right? Right when you're sitting on there, the cop comes up and he looks at you and he taps you on the shoulder and he says, I'm going to let you go. And by the way, what you stole, here it is. You can have it for free. And hold up, here's $100. That doesn't make sense. It's unmerited favor. They didn't get what they were supposed to get, right? Biblically, we can look at that also in the prodigal son. That's a very dear story to me, because if you really think about it, most of us have been in that area. Most of us have done what he has done. This son thought he knew everything. He asked his dad and he said, give me all my money because I'm out of here. I don't want to work with you. I don't want to be with you. Father says graciously, all right, here's the money. And he walks away. He spends it all. And at that time, there was a famine. He couldn't eat. He had no money. And he says, you know what? I need to get a job. And he gets a job feeding pigs. But the sad thing about that was, is that he couldn't even eat what the pigs were eating out of the trough. And here he's sitting, man, I screwed up. I messed up. I got nothing. And he goes, hold up. My dad is, he owns a lot of land. He has a lot of food. He takes care of his servants. I can go and work for him. And I'll go and I'll be with him. So he starts walking back and he's thinking about, well, I'm going to tell him I've sinned. I've messed up and I'll work here and I'll do these things for you. And in the horizon, his dad sees him and he starts running towards him. He starts running after squandering everything, being away. He starts running towards him and gives him a robe. Gives him a ring, says, fatten it up the calf. Give me the nice one that's up there. We're gonna grill this up tonight. Does that make sense? Is that atrocious math? Right? If I was a father and my kid took the inheritance that he wanted, I'm gonna tell you straight up. I'd be like, dude, you screwed up. You need to pay me back. Right? I mean, that's just being honest. I don't understand how that grace is so amazing. But also understanding the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Right? He says, be strengthened. And as you see, I'm flowing this through. Be strengthened in the grace and understanding grace in Christ Jesus. Understanding who Christ Jesus is. Christ is not our genie. Christ is not someone that we come to just because we have problems. Christ is not when we fall that we are just like, all right, this is my scapegoat. Every time I'm going to go off on my way, I'm going to come back. I'm going to ask Jesus for forgiveness. But truly understanding the gospel and who we are. Right? We have fallen short of the glory of God. We are all dead trespasses in our sin. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't. But that awesome cross that was proclaimed, that was there, and Jesus hung on that cross for my sin and your sins. You guys see that? How beautiful that is. Yet what we could not pay, it was paid for us. That's amazing grace. Now, Paul is saying this to Timothy. Where are you getting your strength from? Don't get it from me. Don't get it from me. He says, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Whenever you're throwing in the towel, there's nothing you can do and you're giving up. Be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Husbands, when it's hard to love your wife and you're struggling and it's been a long, hard day, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Wives, when your husband's not listening and he's leaving things all around and he's just doing whatever he wants to do, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't rely on yourself. This goes for mothers and fathers too that have children. When they're screwing up and they're yelling and they're doing whatever they do and you get frustrated, find your strength and grace that's in Christ. At that cross, don't let it overwhelm you. Don't carry that burden that Jesus has taken. Be in that. Be at that. At the cross, rely on grace. At the cross, rely on grace. That's what he's communicating to Timothy as we go through this. Verse 2, he goes and says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So pretty much he's saying, what do you do with this grace? What do you do with this? What are we going to do with it? Two questions come up. What has Timothy heard in front of these witnesses? And who are the faithful men to entrust this to? This is going to be a really great subject. I love this one. Pretty much he's saying, what you have seen me do, go do it. What you have seen me do, go do it. You followed me, you were my disciple, you saw my purpose, my teaching, and my living, how I ministered, how I did it with love, with focus, relentlessly, patiently, lovingly. I took the flack, I took the pain, the suffering, the imprisonments, the beatings, the whippings, and the stonings. He took it all, and he's saying, now that you've seen that, go do it. You were with me, so now go do it. Entrust to these faithful witnesses that you're going to do. Now go do it. You were with me. He says these same words in verse 13 in the previous chapter. He says, you have heard from me. In Philippians 4, he says these words. He says, focus on these things, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. You see the pattern that Paul's going with? He's really trying to live life with people, and he's really trying to say, I'm going to teach you, but I want you to start growing up, and I want you to start walking. I want you to see what I'm doing, and not just ride my coattails, but I want you to sit up, and I want you to be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and teach these faithful men. We cannot do it alone. We cannot do it alone. So summed up, Paul understood the grace that he had received, and he wants to communicate that to Timothy so that he can continue giving that off, sharing the gospel, sharing the grace. So who are the faithful men to entrust this to? Entrust what to the man? The gospel. I had to wrestle and pray through this, and there's two things that we have to look in here when I was reading this. The context is that he's telling Timothy to go and set up men to lead this church, right? He said, go and set up these men to lead this church. It's the times are hard. They need to get produced. They need to be given. They need to be ready to lead. And we can easily jump in and say, you know what? I'm not an elder. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a small group leader. I'm not even a leader. I barely attend small group. This passage is not for me. Or you can go the other way and say, well, it says men. It's not for women. It's not for me. Let me tell you, the principle behind this applies to everyone. The principle behind this applies to everyone. Jesus didn't say, go out and make disciples, leaders, and men. He says, go out and make disciples. All of us to go out and do what he has called us to do. Agreed? Amen? And that's what he's calling us to do. And we have to be very careful in how we see the scriptures, that we're not saying, all right, Brian, you do it. Or small group leader, Craig, you do it. You know, no, it's all of us together working together in a body. All of our lives must be living this way. Overall, the faithful men and women that he is speaking about are men and women that can be relied on, that are enamored by God in Christ. They have given their lives foolishly for the cross. They're sincerely aiming at the glory of God, having Christ in all of their actions. They care for the souls and well-being of people. They focus on the advancement of the kingdom, and they are trustful and faithful. Trustful and faithful. Paul was concerned about the future. He was concerned about what is happening here in this time frame and what is happening. And we must ask our questions also, what's going on in our century? What's going on our lives? This is to encourage us also. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. At that time, Timothy, his faith is being tested. How many times is your faith being tested throughout the week? How many times are you having to struggle with work, with people, on the road, with family? Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So he's telling Timothy, now that we're leading this on, I'm telling you to be strengthened by grace. I want you to go and present what I've taught you to faithful men that are going to continue to pass on the keys to the next generation. I think the next question should be, how do we do this, right? How do we do this? He's like, go and do it. Well, I don't know. I'm going to through suffering. Verse 3, he says, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Our eyes should be fixated to the suffering that is going to come when we give our lives to Christ. And the same thing that he is communicating to Timothy, you are going to suffer. You are going to be ridiculed. You are going to be blasphemed. You're going to get hit. You're going to get spit on. He says, but share in the suffering. It's having a warfare mentality. Right? When I was in the Marine Corps and we were deployed, we were so trained to have our weapons on lock that if we heard something that was not right, our weapons were ready to go. If I even heard a crack or a bullet go through, I was ready. I was out of my bunk and I had my M16 right next to me. That's the warfare mentality that he's saying to be a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Don't shrink back. Press forward. In grace, press forward. Paul understood suffering when he was saying this. And we see that in Corinthians. He was beaten, left for dead, shipwrecked, stoned, hungry, in all the elements. He understood suffering. So when he was saying, hey, it's going to be hard, he was like, I know what you're going to go through. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. And it's going to be messy. It's going to be hard. Think about the people that you relate with. Think about the churches that you've been through. Think about people that you are with in your life right now. How hard is it to have a relationship with them? It's hard and it's messy. We are sinners. But are we pressing forward or are we shrinking back? Are we relying on strength that is in grace? I ask you that question. I ask you that. Suffer as a good soldier as you entrust others by grace in Christ Jesus. You get that? Suffer as a soldier as you entrust others by grace in Christ Jesus. So we keep on asking, how do we do this? And he gives this illustration in verse 4. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him, following wholeheartedly. Following wholeheartedly. When I was in the Marine Corps, from the hours of 7:30 to 5, those belong to the government. But after 5, I put on my civilian clothes, put on my flip-flops, I went to the beach in California, I ate burritos, I got entangled with a couple beers, and I was just being myself, right? That was my life. But I knew the next morning I was belonged to the government again. This is not the soldier mentality. That's what I jumped to, and this is not the soldier mentality that Paul is speaking about. What Paul is speaking about is in the context of what he was writing about, right? He's talking about the Roman Empire soldiers. And the Roman Empire soldiers were cut completely from life. They left their family. They weren't involved in civilian life. They didn't involve themselves with politics or with food or with any. They were focused on war. They were focused on war. And they were focused on the one who enlisted them, right? The officer. Who was the officer at that time? And who is the officer that he is speaking about here? It's Christ, that we stay focused as soldiers on Christ, to have and follow wholeheartedly, that when we see things in the text, we're like, yes, Lord, we see that. These Romans were military, who they were, and they slept, and they talked military, they were disciplined. They were disciplined. Look at Paul's life as you read through the scriptures. Was Paul disciplined? He followed Christ wholeheartedly. He gave his life completely. And I ask you to look at your own hearts and to see where you're at. Are you following Christ wholeheartedly as Paul is giving this illustration here? Paul was an ambassador. And he says that we are ambassadors too. And a great illustration of an ambassador is just someone that the ambassador from the United States goes to Germany. Right? He lives there, but he's not a part of Germany. He declares the business of the American government, but he is not entangled in everything else that they're doing. Are we not ambassadors too? Our home is not here. Our home is in heaven, and it is in eternity. So I ask you, keep your eyes fixated towards Jesus. He enlisted us, so let's keep our eyes focused to him. Let us live in the world, but not be a part of it. Romans 12:2 says, renew your mind daily. Not every Wednesday, not every small group, not at a coffee with a couple people. He says, renew your mind daily, every single day. Not because I want to check off a list, but because I want to honor the one who brought me into this world. I want to honor Jesus Christ, because he is the one that has died for me on that cross. You can't do this without grace. You can't do it. All of this is being strengthened by grace that is in Christ Jesus. That convicted me very much this week, how much I do out of my own and how much we should be focused on the grace. In verse 5, he says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Keeping the rules. I know that's hard terminology for some people that I know, that they lived in a legalistic mentality or church where keeping the rules was always staying within the bumper guards. That this is what I got to do to be right in the eyes of people within the church. But let's focus on what he's saying here. Keeping the rules, the Romans back then had a, they had to work out for 10 months in order to be allowed into the games. He's saying they had to spend 10 months working out and being an athlete in order to be let in. But do you see what the focus is here? Right? When we look at the verse, do you see what he's saying? An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. I think a lot of us have played football, soccer, track and field, right? You've played all these games. What's the end result that everybody wants? You want to win, right? You want to focus on the trophy that's at the end. That's what he's saying here. Keep focus towards the end. Don't focus here. And there are guidelines that Christ has left us, right? In his word as we seek him through. But he's saying keep your focus through grace in strength that's in Christ Jesus. Keep your focus and stay by the rules. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer, he's telling Timothy. But persevere and push forward. Persevere and push forward. There's a crown at the end. There's a prize at the end, and there is eternity. And we all want to hear at the end, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. You see that? The soldier enlisted, the athlete towards the end. You see how he's giving these illustrations to keep us focused, but with purpose, discipline, and wholeheartedly in keeping the rules? Only by grace. Only by grace. Verse 6, it says, it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. I think this is the funny one, especially we have just put in a garden in the back of our house. And it's 5 planter beds, and it is the hardest thing I think I have done in a long, long time. Can you imagine every day going out there and laboring, bending over, pulling out the weeds, watering, tilling the soil, seeding it, being patient and attentive to this thing in 104 degree weather? Man, that's hard. That's hard, but do you see the illustration that Paul's given here? It's going to be hard because there's benefits at the end. Let me tell you, I love my salad when I'm cutting my tomato and my cucumbers, and they're mine. I didn't pay any money for them. I grew them. But we see that there was hard work in order to get these things. And that's what he's telling us. It is going to be hard work, but there's something at the end. And what is that something? Christ, eternity, heaven. He says, keep focus on these things. We tie in the last verse, which I had mentioned earlier. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Think about all the different illustrations that he's spoken about. Think about what Paul was communicating to Timothy during these hard times. The soldier to be wholeheartedly in discipline. The athlete, the rules fixed by life and teaching of Christ. And the farmer that it's going to be hard work. But all of these pointing towards heaven. All of these pointing towards Christ. All of these pointing towards God and eternity. Before I wrap this up, the 3 points that we looked at: be strong in trust and join in the suffering. Be strong in trust and join in the suffering. Be strong in grace. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace is not when he saved you. It doesn't stop there. It is continual every single day, every morning when you wake up. It is by that grace that he gives you. How many times do you wake up and roll over and start doing a whole bunch of other things? Not focus on the grace that has saved you, but it is a continual grace that goes on and on. Apart from him, there is nothing. Apart from him, there is nothing. Don't rely on yourself. Don't do it by yourself. He's there. He says, I'll carry your burden. I'll be there with you. But we're so selfish with ourselves that we think we know better. We're so proud. But I encourage you, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And grace is continual every day at the cross. Be at the cross every single day. He also says, entrust things that Christ has taught you. Be faithful and remember that God is using you despite of what you think to grow others. Right? He's using all of us. We are a body together. We are brothers and sisters seeking the Lord all together. We are going to share in suffering together. I have kids. I probably won't be alone. I won't be alive for much longer. I need people and brothers and sisters that are committed to the gospel to teach my kids also, so that they can pass off the keys of the pure gospel that saved us. Right? We have the keys in passing them on so that our generation, our kids' generation, and the generation after that will see these things. And time is short. Our bodies are not going to stay young. Most of us know that. And we're going to get older. And it's going to get harder. We're not staying young forever. Time is short. And there's an urgency to these things. Before I close our time, I wanted to read a quote. And I ask you to pay attention as I read this. Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will go and sell all that he has. It is the pearl of a great price to buy, which the merchant will sell all his goods. It is the kingly rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ, at which the disciple leaves his nets and follows him. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow, and it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life, and it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it cost God the life of his Son. Ye were bought at a price, and what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace because God did not reckon his Son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. And that was a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Please pray with me.